Hello. My talk for today is called "The Fight the Good Fight of Faith." Now, I'm going to concentrate on just two verses in 1 Timothy 6, that's 11 and 12. And it says, "But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you have made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." The first thing we need to find in 1 Timothy 6, 11 to 12 is that Timothy is told to flee, run away from sin. Running away or fleeing from sin may look different from person to person, depending on what struggles and temptations the person faces. For some people, running away from sin may look like being honest when lying would be easier. The scriptures tells us that we must run from temptation and the desire to sin. Running away from any desire to sin shows we do not want to sin. If we stay or put ourselves in a situation that could lead us to sin, it shows we really want to sin. Now, there are two men in the Bible whose actions showed what their hearts really wanted. One day, King David put himself in a situation that caused him to sin. In the spring, when all kings were supposed to go to war, he stayed at home, but he sent Joab and his servants and all the Israelites instead. So one evening, when he got up from his bed and he walked around on the roof of his palace, and saw a very beautiful woman bathing. He sent his servants to find out who she was. They said she was Bathsheba and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. He sent his messengers to bring her to him. He slept with her and she became pregnant. Now, Joseph, another example, was a man who did the opposite of King David and fled from the situation that could have led him to sin. He ran from his master's wife when she tried to persuade him to sleep with her. Running away from sin is like Joseph is the smartest thing to do because sin impacts our relationship with our Heavenly Father and also with others. You see, God is very faithful and is willing to provide us with help so we can flee, run away from sin. We must be humble and pray for his help because we do not have the power or the strength to resist the power of temptation to sin ourselves. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "We will not be tempted beyond what we can manage or what we can handle. Even when we think we have no choice but to make a bad decision or fall into sin, we have the ability to do what is right." Right after Paul encourages Timothy to flee from what is evil, he encourages him to pursue righteousness. Pursuing righteousness also affects effort. In order to pursue what is righteous, we first must know what is righteous. The Bible helps us navigate what is right and gives us guidelines of what righteousness looks like, allowing us to fight the good fight of faith against sin. Driving home from work one night, Jason Baxter crossed a well-lit road and saw what he thought was a book lying in the road. He stopped and he picked it up. It turned out to be an appointment book with pockets. Looking in the first pocket, Jason found £5 and a driver's license. When he opened the second pocket, there was a big wad of cash. When he arrived home, Jason counted the money. There was more than £8,000 in cash. Wow, for some, the decision might have been difficult, but not for Jason. He called the police, reported his find, then asked why he turned the money in. He answered, "It was just the right thing to do." And that's what we need to do as Christians, to do the right thing. In Matthew 5:6, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Now, this promise can give hope to those who go all out for righteousness in knowing that those who are hungry for righteousness can be filled. Godliness is next on the list of attributes that Paul gives. Similar to righteousness, godliness requires us to get to know God and his word in order for us to lead godly lives. Living a godly life means trying to live following God's will and carrying out actions in the way God would want us to do. According to Strong's Concordance, the word is translated from the Greek word for piety and is used in the New Testament 14 times in the letters of Peter and Paul. While the expression also refers to the holiness of God, godliness in the Bible is mainly used to describe a positive way of life, influenced by God. In 2 Peter 3 verse 11, we see a call to holy and godly lives. All too often it can be easy to mimic worldly actions instead of living for God. Paul writes in Romans 12 verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Pursuing godliness is like running from the things in the world that God says are not right and following his holiness and righteousness. Faith is another attribute that we can pursue. According to Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. The Bible tells us we live by faith and not by sight. In the book of Judges, Deborah was known to be a wife, a judge, a prophetess, and most importantly, she was a powerful woman of faith. She was a woman who heard from God and would carry out his instructions no matter what difficulties, whether it was easy or whether it was hard. Now, one day she was commanded by God to instruct a man named Barak to take him with him 10,000 men to Mount Tabor. There, God would help him and the Israelites defeat the Canaanite army who had been harassing them for many, many years. Now, even though Barak had his army, he was still afraid to lead them on his own. And so he begged Deborah to go with them, which she agreed and told them that God had already gone ahead of them. It was because of Deborah's faith and her zeal and acting on God's word, the Israelites were led to a crushing victory. So faith is about having confidence in God's promises and his word. Faith does not mean that we are to blindly put our trust into anything. Instead, we're able to use reason to put our faith in God and his word and know that even though something has not happened yet, we can still trust. Moving on, it probably comes as no surprise that Paul mentions in this passage we have been looking at love. Love, love. Love is a common theme in many passages in the Bible. In fact, Jesus says that all the commands can be summed up into two commands, both related to love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it too. Love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew chapter 22. Gene Walker's son, Anthony, who was 18, was murdered in 2005 by two thugs. After they were sentenced, she said, "I cannot hate. I have to forgive them. Hate is what killed Anthony. Their minds must be very tortured." To her, it is obvious that she did not forgive. It would insult the memory of her son, who, like her, lived by the beliefs of peace, love, and Christianity. In the Bible, love is about attitudes and action. It's not all about feelings. For example, Matthew 5:44 says that we should love our enemies. It is highly unlikely that we will want to love our enemies. Why? But we can be loving towards them with the help of the Holy Spirit. Endurance is another important quality in the Christian life. When life gets difficult, it can be hard to keep pushing forward. Sometimes we want to give up. Having strength to continue on and give our best, even when we are struggling, is a feature worth pursuing. A hare was making fun of the tortoise one day for being so slow. You've probably heard this story, but I'm going to tell it anyway. "Do you ever get anywhere?" he asked, with a mocking laugh. "Yes," replied the tortoise, "and I get there sooner than you think. I'll run you a race and I'll prove it." The hare was much amused at this idea of running a race with a tortoise, but for the fun of it, he agreed. So the badger, who had been consented to be a judge and a referee, marked the distance and started the runners off. The hare was soon far out of sight, decided to lay down beside the course to take a nap until the tortoise caught up. The tortoise, meanwhile, kept going, slowly but steadily, and after a time passed the place where the hare was sleeping. But the hare slept on very peacefully, and when at last he did wake up, the tortoise was near the goal. The hare now ran his swiftest, fast as he could, but he could not overtake the tortoise in time. Slow and steady wins the race, which suggests someone doesn't need to be the fastest or the strongest to succeed. Rather, they should be the most steady and dependable. Are we steady and dependable serving God? Does he see us as steady and dependable? We can find strength in the fact of the prize that is found at the end of the race in 1 Corinthians 9:24. When we find ourselves lacking in endurance, we can use prayer to talk to God and find hope and comfort. Moving on to gentleness, which is found in both the list of the fruit of the Spirit and Paul's list to Timothy. This trait entails being humble and kind. In 1 Kings chapter 12, it says that Rehoboam was a harsh and a cruel king. The Israelites had become used to living under the authority of a harsh kings or rulers. In fact, at the time that Zechariah lived, the Jewish people had just been released from living in slavery in Babylon and had been allowed to go back to Jerusalem. Zechariah in chapter 9:9 encouraged the people by telling them that they could look forward to the coming of another king. He told them the coming king would bring salvation and righteousness. He also said the new king would be gentle and come to them riding on a donkey. He was talking about Jesus. When Jesus did come, the Jews were still waiting for their Messiah or Savior. They were expecting an earthly king, but God sent a heavenly king. Jesus told the people he was gentle and humble and that he would carry their burdens and give them a light load. He was reminding them that he would not be a harsh and cruel ruler, but a kind and gentle leader. Jesus came to save the Jewish people from their sins, and he came to do it for us too. After finishing off all the list of attributes to pursue, Paul writes a new instruction to Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith. James Braddock, washed-up boxer who came back to become heavyweight champion of the world and an inspiration during the Great Depression back in the 1930s, after being forced to retire from the ring after breaking his hand in his last fight. The grit and determination he exhibited was incredible. Time and time again, he chose to put himself in the ring, only to be knocked around and even knocked out. But what was amazing was his ability to keep getting up no matter how hard the blows were. Fighting the good fight of faith is about making a choice to pursue God's will and a life of faith on a daily basis. Paul mentions the good fight again in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, where he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Fighting the good fight of faith is also about perseverance and continuing, even when the road gets very, very hard. In life, we take hold of a lot of things, from family to personal effects. Everyone has something they embrace and they enjoy. In chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, Paul is saying to take hold of eternal life. In John 5:24, Jesus says, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Through the belief in Jesus and God's plan of salvation, we are able to have eternal life. Paul encourages us to embrace and hold on to it. So finally, let me say this. So fighting the good fight, take hold of eternal life, which seems to be a light at the end of the tunnel, and keep the faith and not grow weary or tired. And I'll finish with this. In other words, press on, keep going, even when the road is hard. Bless you. And we'll finish with a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for being our strength when we are weak. Thank you for your promises that speak love, peace into our lives every day. Help us to trust your word. Help us to wait on your perfectly timed plans, surrendering our lives to you to lead us in your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.